Celia, the day is November 25th, 2020.
Querida Celia, the day is, December 23rd. Today's December 23rd. Happy Merry Christmas Eve. Right? So I graduate in 4 days. The day today is May 18th, 2021.
The day is June 2nd, 2021. The day is February 15th, and it is 1:43 a.m.
I hope that when you listen to this, estoy super lista. Y va a ser muy divertido. Okay, that's all. Love you, bye. Saturday, February 10th, 2024. And I'm recording this as a voice memo on my phone because I'm too lazy to go grab the microphone. And so if you can hear my dryer in the background, I'm doing laundry because I had to force myself to do it because I didn't want to. I got randomly nauseous today. I keep getting randomly nauseous, and I think it's anxiety. But it could be a stomach bug because my friends have felt that way too. Anyways, today I wanted to talk about fashion. And specifically, I wanted to talk about how I really want to get into fashion and become more fashionable. And I had this vivid memory back to when I was, I don't even know, like 15, 16, and I was at a Ross with my mom. We were there in El Ross, you know. I was looking at all these clothes, and I felt so nauseous. Actually, I felt so nauseous being like, oh no, I'm going to have to try these clothes on, and they're not going to look good on me, and I'm not going to be able to pull them off, and I wish that I was older, and I wish that I looked better, and I wish that blah, 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 blah. Like, it was just this spiral in my head of all the reasons why I couldn't wear what I wanted to wear and how I had to wait to wear what I wanted to wear. And that's definitely been a big theme in my teenagehood, early adulthood, that now I definitely don't feel, because I am who I wanted to be back then. I am the age that I so desperately wanted to be back then. And I think this in part was caused due to social media and due to just media in general and society kind of forcing us to grow up at a much faster rate than people probably would have in the past. But I was like, no, like, I can't wear that. I can't pull it off. I can't do that. And I just remember feeling so bad about myself. And dressing rooms were like my worst enemy. I was like, please, for the love of God, never put me in a dressing room because the lighting's bad. I think honestly they do it on purpose. I really think they do it on purpose to convince us all that we look bad when we don't. You do not look bad. You listening to this do not look bad. You look amazing and beautiful, and don't listen to your brain in those instances. Because literally, I just keep flashing back. There was one time I was at a Target and I was trying on clothes and the lighting could not have been more bad. Like, it was horrendous lighting. I don't even know what it was. Like, and I was standing there, and I remember I was taking such a long time, and I was trying to figure out if it was the angle, if it was the, like, I immediately blame myself. I did not blame the lighting. I did not blame the cut of the clothing. I blamed myself. And I was like, my body should not be looking like that. Instead of just being like, you know what? That's what I look like. And I love that me, which I think is now what I try to do as I've gotten older. Is I look in the mirror, and I do this all the time to my friends, and they roll their eyes at me, and they're like, Celia, please shut up. Anytime I hear any of my friends say something mean about themselves, I'm immediately like, well, that's not a very nice thing to say. As if they had insulted someone else, I'm like, that's a really mean thing. That's really messed up to say. And then I make them say something nice about themselves. I did this to one of my friends the other day where she was like, I hate my hair. Like, my hair looks so bad today. And I was like, that was a really mean thing to say about yourself. How can we change that mindset? I want you to say, I love my hair regardless of what it looks like today. And it's okay if we're not always obsessed with ourselves. But it's also, it was so funny. She rolled her eyes at me and then she was like, oh, I love my hair. But her hair type is the same as my hair type. So I was like, you're saying that. Do you hate my hair? And she was like, you know, it starts a conversation of, Why are we saying things to ourselves that we would never say to another person? And that really makes you think before you speak and before you act. And so now if I'm, this is what's actually, this is good. Let's talk about it. Let's really unpack this. One of the reasons that I have been so hesitant to post fashion content in the past, many reasons. The main one being that I do not know if it would be healthy to see my body try on clothes and to have to edit it and look back on it and realize how everything looks on me all the time. And it terrifies me. It really does. It makes me so scared to have to do that. And so I've been avoiding it. Even though fashion is something I love, I follow so many fashion accounts. I think they're super cool. And it's something that I've been dying to try. Like when I was little, I had many careers that I wanted to pursue. One of my careers, I desperately wanted to be the next Cake Boss. And I was watching a lot of Cake Boss at the time. I wanted to be the Cake Boss so bad. And so I learned how to make fondant from scratch. And it was so bad. It was so incredibly bad. Like it didn't even, you know how fondant is supposed to be like, you know, like this sugary dough basically that you can like, I don't know, get a freaking rolling pin and roll out. This was paste. This was not a dough. This, I don't know what it was, but my Lord, that dream burned out real quick. Anyways, so my next career choice, I really wanted to be a fashion designer. And I started all these sketches and I was so obsessed with it. And I had, you know, I would dress up my dolls in like all these different clothes. And then I don't know what happened. Somebody probably told me that my design sucked and I was like, damn, there goes that. And that's honestly probably why I quit. I honestly could not tell you why I stopped doing that. And then, you know, begins the whole downward spiral of absolutely hating myself at the age of 10. That's so sad. That's so sad to say. But hey, the character development has brought us to where we are now. But so I was really interested in fashion. I loved fashion. But again, I really wanted to grow up. That was my biggest thing. I was like, I want to look like a grown-up. I want to be a grown-up, which now I'm a quote-unquote grown-up. And I'm like, I just want to be a kid, bro. I just want to be a kid. But I don't. I love being an adult. Being an adult is very fun. And, you know, having your own money and being able to do things you want is very fun. But it's hard because then, as I spoke in one of the last episodes, it's hard to know what you consider a necessity and a want that you really don't need, you know, like something that's just a waste of your time and a waste of your money. And oftentimes fashion has kind of fallen into that category for me of something that, yeah, I could want it, but I don't necessarily need it. And it wasn't until more recently that I was like, fashion is such a wonderful, creative outlet of you are able to put so much of your personality in what you look like and what you wear, in your jewelry, in your hair. Oh my God, that was not supposed to rhyme. Anyways, the poetry is coming out. And so instead of seeing it as this miscellaneous spending that's definitely not necessary, I started to use it as a way to heal myself. And that might sound silly to somebody. I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. This is my podcast. I can say what I want. I started using it as a way to heal, especially in terms of how I felt about my cultural identity. Because, you know, both my parents are Mexican immigrants. I was born in the US, and so I'm very much so Mexican American. And oftentimes, it was obviously dealing with like, where am I from? And like, where do I belong? Like, that's a whole aspect of it. But I felt like what I was wearing was also, in a sense, assimilating to the culture. And oftentimes I would be assimilating specifically to American culture and I wanted to seem more American. And even though I've had a huge appreciation, an immense appreciation for Mexican culture my entire life, I would say it wasn't until more recently where I really began demonstrating that through my fashion. And, you know, now there are times where, like, I have Mexican shirts and they have really beautiful textiles and patterns. And if I know that I'm going to give a very important presentation that's going to be seen by a lot of really important people, I will make it a fact to wear something that will make me look more Latina, and that will be something that was made in Mexico, because I want that to be so clearly my identity, and I want to celebrate that, and I want to show, especially in rooms that oftentimes Latinas haven't been in before, I want to make sure that people know that we're there and that we're not the last ones there. And, you know, even if there's another person in that room that then sees me, you know, wearing my culture so proudly, that then inspires them to wear their culture so proudly, that's all I want. That's all I could ever want. And so fashion became less of this miscellaneous spending. Miscellaneous isn't the right word. I want to say nonsensical. No. It stopped being something that I was like, I don't need it. And it started being like, no, maybe I do need it. Maybe this is something that allows me to become more connected with myself, because I'm able to express myself through what I'm wearing. And that's not to say, like, go and spend a bunch of money buying clothes. That's not what I'm saying at all. Please. Before somebody's mom comes at me. No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. But what I'm trying to say is, I think also, because I had such a bad relationship with my body, with the way that I viewed trying on clothes, anything with fashion, I was so afraid of it. And it was something that, you know, just like with thrift stores, after being bullied as a kid and people saying that, oh, you know, like, if you thrifted, like, that was basically like getting your clothes from the trash. Like, people would say that. People would spread rumors that I would get clothes from my trash, because my dad was a garbage truck driver. And so because we could only afford to go thrifting, a lot of my clothes were a lot more run down. And I was also the youngest in my family, so most of my clothes were hand-me-downs. And I developed a really bad relationship with thrift stores and secondhand clothing and fashion in general, because I really associated that with the negative feelings that people were kind of spewing onto me. And it's so funny. And I've definitely said this in another episode. It's so funny how everything changes with time. In the sense that, you know, things that were incredibly unpopular and cringy 10 years ago, 15 years ago, are now all the rage. You know, now skinny jeans are out, flare pants are in. Which back then, skinny jeans were in. And I would be trying to force myself to wear these super tight pants that I hated. I did not like them at all. And I was like, no, I need to wear them because that's what everyone else is wearing. And I want to be cool like everybody else. And so I would force myself to wear these things that I did not like. I did not feel comfortable in. And I was like, this is so ridiculous. Like, why am I doing this? But in that time, I was like, I need to do it. I need to be cool. I need to look like everybody else. And it doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how it looks like on me. I want to be the same as everybody else. I was young. I was young. It's something that, you know, when you're being bullied, you're going to want to not be bullied. And so obviously you're going to succumb to whatever somebody is telling you will make you be liked, right? And then you get older and you're like, bruh. People just change their minds like it's nobody's business. Because, like I said, things that were super uncool before, thrift stores, for example, super uncool. If you had a thrift, you were poor. And people made sure that you felt like you were nothing. Versus now, it's cute. It's trendy. It's vintage. I'm like, we couldn't have done this 15 years ago and spared me a couple therapy sessions, bro. But it's so, if you're going through that now where you feel like you have to force yourself to kind of conform to what society's idea of beauty is, realize that it's going to change. It's going to keep changing. And it's incredibly damaging to be a young woman and or a young man or a young person having to see all of this happen and realize that it's the things that people hate have nothing to do with you and everything to do with them, and also everything to do with what will make the most money at the time. And I think that's something important to consider, in that marketing strategies oftentimes are meant to make you feel insecure so that you buy a product, which is horrible, which is so bad. And it's, I definitely fell for that when I was younger. I would see, you know, all these fashion shows and everything, and I would be like, these people don't look like me. What do I have to do to look like them? Instead of just being like, these people don't look like me. Let me go find someone that looks like me so I can be like, what are you doing? Which is something, I got a comment the other day about, oh, your makeup always looks flawless, which thank you so much. But they're like, how do you do your makeup? And so I'll probably do an updated makeup routine soon. But something that I did when I first started to do my own makeup is I would look up makeup tutorials specifically done by people that had the same face shape as me. Because I was like, if I go and just do any makeup routine from any person that doesn't have a similar face shape to me, that doesn't have a similar hair color to me, like all these things could play a factor in how you are going to view yourself if you're doing somebody else's makeup routine using the same products that they're using, okay? Using the same techniques. And one of the things that I was thinking about was like contouring. I was like, I avoided contouring forever because I was like, I don't know how to do it. And anytime I would do it, it would just not look good. And so I started doing my makeup, and this ties into fashion, I promise. I started doing my makeup just at home. Like, it would be midnight, I'd be at home, nobody around, and I would do my makeup knowing that I had nowhere to go, because there was nothing scary about that. I was like, if I mess up, if I don't look good, who cares? Who cares, bro? And I had, there's all these sirens. I had all this makeup from when I took my senior portraits in high school, and that makeup lasted me years, which I probably should not have let it last years, but I was just too afraid to do it. And so I started doing my makeup knowing that nobody could see me. And that's kind of how I started learning. And now I have a makeup routine that I love, that makes me feel like myself, that makes me feel happy to be myself. And I think that's so important, because I've definitely learned how to accentuate my natural features instead of trying to hide them, which I think, again, is why it's so important to, when you're looking up influencers, content creators, models, whatever you are looking for, if you find someone that looks like you and you think they're gorgeous and beautiful, you are going to start believing that you are gorgeous and beautiful too, without changing yourself. Because if you find someone that does not look like you, you're going to be like, how can I look like them? Which, not good. My advice, do not do that. But so this ties into fashion, because I started doing the same thing with fashion. I would go to the thrift store, now that I didn't hate it anymore, and I would just experiment. I'd be like, okay, there's no fear here. I can just buy whatever I want. If I wear it outside, great. If I don't, cool. I'll have a little fashion show in my house, and that's okay. And so oftentimes I would buy things that were cheaper, because I was like, okay, then I don't feel like I'm wasting my money. And some of those pieces that were things that I never thought I could pull off are now some of my favorite pieces. And it's, fashion is so unique and so beautiful in so many different ways. And it really is an expression of so much more than your personality. Because like I said, I really use it to demonstrate my cultural identity, to celebrate my culture, to celebrate life in a way. Like I wear a lot of bright colors, and I love dressing up for the different seasons. And it's just something that it gets me so excited. But I'm still definitely afraid sometimes of it, just because now that I have been able to become a content creator, which I'm very grateful for, there's so many aspects of my personality that I haven't been able to show in the way that I want because of my own insecurities, because I don't necessarily want to be editing that type of content and really have to face those demons, you know? And that's so funny to say, because in poetry, I feel like I'm battling my demons every day, you know? Like, here's the most dramatic moment I've ever had in my life. Let's put a couple rhymes and, you know, Dr. Seuss this be. Pero it's just, I don't, with fashion, I think by talking about it now, I'm going to start to feel more comfortable posting about it. But it's something that I want to get to the point where I'll see something, I'll like it, and be like, yeah, I could pull that off. And then I could wear it and be like, I'm pulling this off. I look great. Instead of being like, yeah, I could pull it off, and then wear it and be like, no, I'm ugly. Which I'm not. But it's just like your brain sometimes only knows the thoughts that it has thought in the past. And that's something that I talk about with my therapist all the time, about how I need to challenge my thoughts, because so many of my thoughts are just thoughts that I've inherited from other people, which is what I was saying in the other episode, that, you know, when someone's insulting you, when someone's talking shit about you, you're going to take that as a fact and you're going to tattoo that on your body and be like, that's what it is. That's the truth. And it's not. That's something that, you know, people are allowed to have opinions, but also you're allowed to have opinions too. You know, and we're allowed to push back. If someone's like, you're ugly, we're allowed to be like, nah, bro. Good try, though. Maybe next year. Pero, it's just, that's something that I definitely am working on, of just being like, and also not everything requires like a response. Like if somebody insults you, to just be like, okay. And just keep it moving. Be like, all right. My parents actually had this saying that it's not the best saying, but it was this saying. It's not the best saying in the sense that it's a little gross, but my dad would always be like, okay, you're given two plates, right? When someone compliments you, when someone's nice to you, the plate has a piece of cake. When someone is really mean to you, the other plate has something that you would leave in a toilet, okay? And he was like, it's your decision. Which plate are you going to take? And he would always say that to me growing up. And he'd be like, obviously, you want to take the plate with a cake. You don't want to take something that's gross and nasty and that's going to make you sick. Like, why would you ever do that? And I always think about that. Like, I didn't appreciate that saying as much as I do now. But it's true. You just, anytime you want to do something, and what stops you is fear. I want you to really consider where this fear is coming from. Because it always has a root. And oftentimes that root is stemming from way, 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 way back in some childhood trauma that we've locked up in Pandora's box that we're afraid to open because we know there's a lot of other stuff in there. But there comes a time where that box can't control you anymore. You've outgrown the box. The box used to be this big chest of drawers that took up half of your room. And now it's this little, little, little tiny like charm that you could put on a bracelet. So opening it up might not be as scary anymore. So that's a lesson I needed to learn for myself. Celia to Celia, start posting fashion videos. And if you guys see me posting fashion videos, just know that it's hard for me and I'm trying my best, and y'all better be nice to me. But it's something that I would love to do. Just some things I feel so comfortable doing, like poetry, and love poetry, will always keep posting poetry, but I also want to keep evolving my own channels. And, you know, YouTube is something that I love. I love long form content, but I just get so caught up in my head about it. And then I end up letting that control me to the point where I don't do what I want to do. And I want to take the reins back of my brain and, you know, be back in control. And that's a resolution for 2024 that I am making happen. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. And I feel like this is going to be relatable. I'm sorry if you can relate to this. It's hard. It's hard to be in that dressing room and to feel like you are not beautiful. But I'm telling you right now, you're so beautiful. And wear what you want to wear and feel confident. Yeah. I'll see you in the next episode. Okay, bye.